Happy Sabbath. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord, is it not? I'm not used to special music and then preaching. I'd like to welcome you to the Better Life Roseburg Seventh-day Adventist Church. What a sight it was to see all these kids for children's story this morning. What a blessing. And look forward to seeing all the more kids in days and weeks to come. Some of you are visiting for the first time. Welcome. Some of you are coming back from mission work out in Africa. We're glad you're back, Ralph. And then there's us. We're always here. Why? Because God is still working in our lives. And God has something to do in our lives today. Just want to briefly share some things of upcoming events next Sabbath. For those of you who may not even realize that you could have a gift in speaking and sharing a message from the Lord, there will be a seminar at 4 p.m. at this place, the church. But not just that. Starting February 5th through the 11th, we are having Happily Ever After. This is a marriage seminar that my wife and I will be putting on for not just married folk, but people who may later down the road consider that chapter. Because the truth is, nobody teaches us how to be married. You don't go to school for that. And then we tie the knot and it's like, oh, this is what married life is all about. And so in this seminar, we'll be talking about different tools that will further enrich our marriages. It could be that maybe your spouse may have some health conditions. Come. It may be that your marriage is very strong. Come. It might be that your marriage could be a little stormy right now. Come. You'll be glad you did. And last but not least, this evening we start at 6:30 with a wonderful health presentation by Jordan. But at 7 thereafter, we will be concluding our 10 days of prayer. How many of you have been able to come to a 10-day of prayer? All right, I see many hands. But tomorrow, when? Tomorrow, we start our 40 days of prayer. Jesus prayed for 40 days and fasted. The children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 days. And Elijah also went through a 40 days experience. And these 40 days is something special leading up to something huge. We start tomorrow, and the game plan is that we get a prayer partner, whether or not they volunteered. Get a prayer partner, and you will have a daily devotional, a workbook. And so we will be praying together with our prayer partner for guess how many days? 40 days. And it could be that you pray in person. You meet somewhere and you pray. Or it could be that you pray on the phone or FaceTime or Skype, whatever. Use any and every means to be able to do this. I remember doing the 40 days once, and we were out in Michigan, and my partner was in California, and we did it anyway. But also, we will be needing to do it in that format, which is so beneficial. But during these 40 days, we're going to be praying for at least 5 people to come to the Lord, as well as what that devotional thought was. And last but not least, we should expect God to work in us and through us. Just during these last 10 days, someone made a decision to be baptized. Could you imagine 40 days? Imagine how many people will be making decisions to follow Christ. That's what these 40 days are all about. And so I invite you. Some of you have already signed up, and our sign-up is to my right, your left. Over there on that back table where you see an orange pen, that's where you sign up. Some people have asked, hey, can you be my prayer partner? They said, oh, yeah. And other people, they found out that they were being volunteered. Whatever may be the case, praise the Lord. They were volunteered by a very, very good friend of theirs. But as we get into this morning's message, let us bow our heads. Gracious Father above, you whom angels adore, you who holds the universe in your hands, desire to dwell among us. And Father, we want Jesus, your Son, to be in this place, in our hearts through your Spirit, to do something that you've never done before. Speak to us, Father, and may we not just listen, but may we be changed by having been with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, teach us to pray is what we've been focusing for the last two messages that I've shared, and this journey continues today. And I've purposefully made bite-sized segments for us to take a look at how Jesus taught the disciples to pray and how Jesus is teaching you and he's teaching me how to pray. He said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I have a hunch you already know where I'm going. And it's very tasty, if you ask me. Prayer is not about what you do. In other words, prayer is not about simply kneeling down, talking to God, saying amen, and getting up and going about my day. Prayer is about how you live. Because everything that happens in your prayer life is reflected in everyday life. Because we started, Our Father which art in heaven. My life should have an element of connection with the Father, and that's through Christ Jesus. My life should be one where I treat others the way that Jesus would want me to, because they're a child of God as well. How I live is reflected by how I pray. Give us this day our daily bread. I really enjoy going to the Olive Garden. Maybe you too. And a lot of it has to do with this, breadsticks. Oh, it's all you can eat, Trey. Okay. Thank you. And I don't know about you. Maybe it's just me. But we get to Olive Garden, and we place our order, and the breadsticks and the salad and the food comes, and we start being very observant. Observant of how much bread I have on my plate. Observant of how much bread my partner has. And how much food I have. So that I don't eat my bread too quick, neither too slow, so that I'm able to have bread with my food. Just enough so that the next time the waiter or waitress comes, I can say, can I have more bread, please? And I just keep on going with the food and the bread. Bread. Give us this day our, what kind of bread? Daily bread, Jesus says. Look at what Job said. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You see, Job, he was one who lost all his riches. He lost all 10 of his kids. His wife tells him, curse God and die. The his three friends give him bad advice. And he says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. If there was anyone who could have turned his back on God, it was Job. Maybe this week we may have felt like turning our backs on God. But no, God still has something up his sleeve, and it's good. And I reckon those must be big sleeves. But Job, he could have said, neither have I gone back from the commandment, period. Next line. But no, Job actually uses the word lips. And you see, the word lips is an intimate word. Why? Because, for instance, in my case, I get to kiss my wife's lips and nobody else can. That's intimate. And if you haven't kissed your spouse lately, you need to do so. And often, after church. The children of Israel, they are liberated from Egypt. God takes them on this journey into the wilderness, and they had one little problem. The fridge was back in Egypt. No food. No food for at least 3 million people every day. And then God promised them, I got what you need. What you need is coming from up there. And here's the thing about manna. It would come down every morning, kind of like the dew. But as the day progressed, like how the sun dries up the dew, so would the manna. So like if I don't get my time with God in the morning, I could be careful. I might not get it later, no matter how hard I try. Look at this. When you have thus made God's service your first interest, you may ask with confidence that your own needs may be supplied. That's like pretty big, because sometimes when I start praying, I just start praying about me, 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 and some more me. And then, oh yeah, other people. Oh yeah, other things. But look what happens. If you have renounced self and given yourself to Christ, you are a member of the family of God, and everything in the Father's house is for who? You don't sound too excited. It's for you. All the treasures of God are open to you, both the world that is now and when else? And that which is to come. I don't know about you, but I want a lot of what's up there. How about you? Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, Jesus said. But by some words? Every other. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, Jesus said. That's how I am to live. Wow. Man shall not live by bread alone. What is it that I need? Have you ever asked yourself that? Because we go to the store and we get the shopping cart, and sometimes what goes in the shopping cart is not necessarily what I need. It could actually be what I want. And the thing about manna is that after a while, it wasn't that appetizing because it was the same thing. Day after day, the same thing. But it was the manna, it was the word of God that they needed. Do you need the word of God? Man did eat whose food? Angels' food. He sent them meat to the full, Psalm 78:25. Wow. Could you imagine eating angels' food? And it wasn't angel food cake either. It was angels' food. It's what they get to eat. I don't know about you, but I want seconds and thirds of that. The Bible is meant to be bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions. You see, this morning, I had a good time. I had a good time as I was reading my Bible. And then I come to see my brother and sister in Christ, and I'm so blessed because you're all here and want to learn more of God and grow in your faith. And then, oh yeah, there's a sermon. And I'm blessed by the sermon. But you know what? If I haven't had that time with God, then I'm not going to get too much out of my sermon, even if I'm preaching it. This one occasion, my wife was preaching out in Montreal, Canada, and she was pretty nervous because it was like 2,000 people. And she said, "Honey, pray for me." And I said, "Honey, your time with God," no, let me rewind. "Your sermon preparation is this important. Your time with God is this important." And so with us, we may not be preaching a sermon today, but we're serving God in one way, shape, or form, regardless if we have a title. Because everywhere we go, are we not to be on His business? I believe so. "I have been young," David said, "and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." You see, David's saying, you know what? Once upon a time, I was a young whippersnapper, and now my hair's all gray, but one thing I've never seen are the righteous forsaken. Those who want to be faithful to God and are obedient, those people, they don't get hung out to dry. They don't beg for bread because they're satisfied. And let me tell you, when we are faithful to God, sometimes there are situations that come up that make our knees buckle and we start sweating, because then we get to see whether or not God is going to be faithful or not. Is our God faithful? He sure is. The Bible says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not forgetful, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be what? Blessed in what he does." I don't know about you, but I want me some blessing. How about you? How many of you know where Big Rapids, Michigan is? I see two takers, only because they used to live in Michigan. Well, Grand Rapids, Michigan, you may have heard, is kind of like right about here. That's a Michigander. They always point to the hand of the state of Michigan and show you where they come from. But Big Rapids, Michigan is like that big. And it's about an hour and a half north of Grand Rapids, Michigan. I spent a summer as a Bible worker in Big Rapids, Michigan. Bible workers, that's someone who gives Bible studies, and in my situation, I was preparing Bible students for the late evangelist Dan Collins. And I had a deal with the church. I was going to be living at the church for 10 weeks, and I was going to be getting paid a whopping $50 a week. And that was going to be for my food, gas, and anything else I was going to be needing. And maybe this just happens to me. I was in church Sabbath, and I had gotten a little late on my tithes. But it just so happened that in my pocket, I had enough money to pay my tithes. And so there I was. I was wrestling with God, and I was saying, okay, God, I can give my tithe, and that gives me no money in my wallet. But Sundays is when my check would come in. So I reasoned, well, tomorrow's Sunday. What do I really have to worry about? Because after all, I'm getting paid tomorrow. Here's the tithe. I pay my tithe. Worship service continues. Sabbath concludes. I put my pretty little head on my pillow. I slept. I wake up. Sunday came. And Sunday went. And there was no check in sight. I thought, you know, maybe the treasurer had a very, very, very busy day. You know, things happen. He'll come by Monday. Monday comes and Monday goes and there's no check. Tuesday. Wednesday. Thursday morning comes. And I remember vividly that day because I was having breakfast. And that morning I ate the last amount of food that was in the cupboards and in the fridge. And let me tell you, I ate all of that cereal that morning, every last drop. And so I told God, God, you told me to come here to Big Rapids, Michigan to give Bible studies. This is my last meal. I don't know where the next one is coming from, but you've also called me to be faithful to you in tithes and offerings, and I have been, so you take care of it. I went off to give Bible studies, and this one Bible study concluded just around noon. And what had never happened in any previous studies with that Bible student, she said, Tony, would you like to stay for lunch? She, not knowing a thing of what was going on, I said, that would be delightful. I wouldn't mind staying. She made an amazing sandwich and then some cherry cheesecake. I finished my cheesecake. And then she said, by the way, I've been impressed to give this to you. It was an envelope. I said, thank you so much. God bless you. I went on my way. Later, I opened the envelope. And in it was enough for my gas, my supper, and anything else I needed at that moment. Would you like to take a guess what was waiting for me back home when I got to church? The check. You see, it's not good enough to be a hearer of the word. We must be a doer of the word, or else we won't see God do what only God can do. If I don't give God that opportunity, well, he'll hold on to that blessing until I'm ready. The Bible says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live how long? Forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. One of the things I love about the Word of God and Jesus revealed in it is that he brings out new stuff
and some old stuff. And the old stuff helps me to understand the new stuff. And the new stuff helps me to understand the old stuff. But you know what? If me as a Christian, if I'm just holding on to an old experience with Jesus and his word, it's time for a new experience. It's time for a daily experience with Christ. Who's the bread? Jesus is the bread. And I reckon that must be some good bread. Some very good bread. God imparts his blessing to who? Has God blessed you this week? You better believe he has. We wouldn't be sitting here if it weren't so. God imparts his blessing to us that we may do what? Give to others. So get this. The bread I got is for me to give to other people. Amen? And as long as we yield ourselves as the channels through which his love can flow, he will keep the channels supplied. There is no shortage of bread. When you ask God for your daily bread, he looks right into your heart to see if you will impart the same to others, more needy than yourself. When you pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, he watches to see if you will manifest compassion to those with whom you associate. This is the evidence of our connection with God, that we are merciful even as our Father who is in heaven is merciful. The mercy we impart to others reflects our prayer life. How so? If I'm busy praying to God for him to be merciful to me, then do I have the audacity to be unmerciful to somebody else? Something's not right with that picture. Because the mercy I receive from him is the same mercy I give to others. The love I receive from him is the love I give to others. Teach us to what? The disciples asked. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to realize in my life that I need to learn how to pray more. Because prayer changes who? Prayer changes us. And prayer is how you live. Give us, Jesus said. He didn't say give me. And my school teacher reminds me, us is plural. Give us our daily bread. For I was hungry. And you did what? You gave me food to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me water to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. You see, this is the us that is needing what God gives us. You see, God hates Tupperware. I like Tupperware. And nothing against Tupperware. But you see, what happens is we'll cook a meal or maybe go out to a restaurant. And then what do we do with the leftovers? We put it in some container. It goes in the fridge. Once it goes to the fridge, it goes back here. When was the last time we went to a restaurant, got a takeout tray, and then purposely looked for who we can give that food to? And you might be thinking, well, that's a big step, Pastor. I don't know if I can do that. But how about this? When was the last time we invited people over to our house just to feed them? Maybe even a church member. Because last time I checked, the prayer is, give who? Us this day our daily bread. That's what the Bible says. What are we doing with the us? Because if I'm the only one eating the bread, something's wrong with the picture. This is what happens when I live a life of prayer. Because if I'm praying, God, help me, help me, help me, then that's a very selfish prayer if you ask me. In the feeding of the multitude and in the sermon on the bread from heaven, Christ had opened to them their work as his representatives. When people see you, they see Jesus. When people see me, I pray they see likewise. They were to give the bread of life to the people. They must receive spiritual food or they would have nothing to impart. Why? Because if we can only give what we have. But they were not to turn one soul away unfed. Christ directs them to the source of supply. You see, Jesus didn't directly feed the 5,000 or the 4,000. He gave the food to his disciples. The disciples gave the food to the people. Guess who Jesus is giving the food to right now? To you and to me. Now that we got some food, guess what our marching orders are? Exactly. 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm not going to put it on the screen, just so that we look it up. Look it up in our Bibles. And I know we're into technology, and that has its place. But there's nothing like bringing our Bibles to church. I remember being in high school at Academy, and I felt so odd taking my Bible because not many people took their Bibles to church on Sabbath morning. What a blessing it is to take my Bible, the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, does it say devotional lives to show thyself approved? Is that what it says? Or how about this? Does it say read to show thyself approved? No, that's not what it says either. Actually, what it says is study. Study to show thyself approved. You see, once upon a time, we used to be people of the book. Now, it's like, okay, maybe a verse or two here, and we struggle to even study our Sabbath school lesson. And let me tell you, our Sabbath school lesson is just an appetizer. That and then some is need in the Christian walk. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Sometimes we think that the problem is that we're not giving enough Bible studies and doing evangelism. No, that's not the problem. That's just the fruit of the problem. The problem is that we're just not studying the Bible as we should. Because if I receive the Word of God as I study and it comes into my life, the only thing that naturally can occur is to share it with somebody else. But what's the big deal, Pastor? What's the big deal if I study the Word of God or not? Because I'm here in church. I'm okay. I got my Christian clothes on. I got my Christian face on, and I'm looking good. So what's the big deal? Well, here's the big deal. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are what? Spirit, and they are life. All right. So let's go to Genesis 2, verse 7, when God created man. The Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Isn't that what the Bible says? Okay. So we kind of see a little bit of an equation here where God takes the dust of the ground, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then man became a living soul. You see, according to the Bible, we don't have souls. We are a soul. Maybe a different version may not say living soul, but may say living person, or maybe a living being. In essence, when the dust of the ground and the breath of life is together, what you are is alive. That's what it means. And so there's also a synonym for the breath of life in different versions. That word would be spirit. So now that that's in our minds, let's go back to John 6:63. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are what? Spirit. Where have we seen that before? That's the equivalent of the breath of life. And they are life. You see, when I study the Word of God, it's as if I'm breathing. What happens when I stop breathing? Oh, that's right. I'm D-E-A-D, dead. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The big deal is, if I'm not studying the Word of God and living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, then I could look alive, but inside I am not. Might just be a lot of dust, but no spirit. Because the last time I checked, it's the Holy Spirit who helps me to remember the Word of God. So let us receive the Word of God. If we're not eating God's Word as we should, then what are we eating? If I'm not eating the Word of God, then what nourishment am I getting? What am I filling myself up with? That's a question for each one of us to wrestle with. What kind of bread is it? Give us this day our daily bread. Okay, it's daily bread. It's not weekly bread. It's not monthly bread. It's not fruitcake that comes out at Christmas time. No, it's daily bread. On that trip that my wife was going to... This picture reminds me of it. What kind of bread is this? Yeah, there's a Bible verse on it. It is cinnamon raisin. But can you look at the temperature of it? Maybe on the screen you can't really tell. But let me give you a hint. It's very, very, very cold. In fact, it's frozen. On that trip, she flew from Portland one way, direct flight to Boston. 5 hours. And so she knew she was going to get hungry, and so she bought some pizza before getting on the plane, and she put the pizza on the floor. And then when she got hungry, she grabbed the pizza and realized it felt a whole lot like that loaf of bread. Cold. When my wife and I got married, she really didn't care what temperature the bread was. And then she started learning that her sweet husband likes his bread warm, moist, and with a little bit of butter. That's good bread. You see, if I haven't spent time in God's Word lately, it could feel cold. Or better yet, have you ever toasted some bread and not put any butter on it? Is it very pleasant? No, it's not. And so, when I put a little butter, when I ask for the Holy Spirit to help me understand what I read, it's like so tasty. The Word of God. Job did say, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job would rather starve than not having the Word of God. And it's time we have that same perspective. Prayer is where I talk to God. Studying the Bible is where God talks to me. So if all I'm doing is praying but not studying the Word of God, then that's a one-sided conversation. Both are necessary because this is a dialogue and not a monologue. Our prayers are not to be a selfish asking merely for our own benefit. We are to ask that we may give. The principle of Christ's life must be the principle of our lives. How does this happen? Well, those who make the Word of God their study, those who dig for the treasures of truth, will themselves become imbued with the Spirit of Christ. And by beholding, they will become changed into His likeness. It's time we dig. It's time we give Jesus the time of day in His Word. We're so fascinated when somebody sends us a text message. Oh, what did so-and-so say? But what did God say? What did the one who holds the whole world in His hand, who died for you, what did He say? Do we want to know what He has said? That's a text I want to read. 4 months ago, I celebrated another birthday. And I tell my wife this every 13th of the month. I let her know, in 8 months it will be my birthday. That way she can prepare. I'm just concerned for her. And my birthday came around 1 year. And if you're on Facebook, everybody and their grandma knows it's your birthday, whether you want them to know or not. And my wife typically has her time with the Lord earlier than I do. She's a very early bird. And I finally woke up, and she said, "Honey, happy birthday," and this and that. And you have some birthday greetings. Check it out on Facebook. I said, "You know, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate that. But I'm needing something more lasting first. Something that's going to sustain me through the rest of the day. Or else the gas meter is going to be on E rather quickly. And I won't be getting too far." Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And last time I checked, we got two. "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of what? That hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." You see, the more I spend time with God in His Word, the more I start looking like Jesus. The more I start having His character, which is synonymous with His name. So this hidden manna has a way of making me more like Jesus. The question is, do we want to hear it? Do I want to hear the Word of God? Do I want the Word of God? Do I want to hear what Jesus has to say to me? That is the question. This picture has been in almost every church I've pastored. And the first time I saw it was in my first district as a senior pastor. And when I would see it, it bugged me. You know why? Because what was in the picture was what I wasn't doing. I remember the first time I started reading my Bible. It wasn't because all of a sudden I really, really wanted to read the Bible because the Holy Spirit touched my heart. I'll tell you what happened. I was at academy playing some volleyball, and they served the ball to me, and I hit the ball back and felt a strong pain in my back and laid down on the floor paralyzed the rest of the night. In that time of my life, me and Jesus were on two different islands. And I thought to myself, I've heard about Jesus for so long, but yet here I am on the floor. It's amazing what you think about when you're on the ground looking up. Here I am on the floor. My old man's a preacher. I've heard about Jesus, but yet I am nowhere near Jesus. And I thought to myself, if something would have occurred in this accident that would have taken my life, I know I'm not ready and I'm not going to where God has promised me when he comes back. So on that gym floor, I said, Jesus, come into my heart. From that moment on, I started reading my Bible. In the dorm, lights out would be at 10 p.m., and my room was diagonally from the bathroom. And that was very providential because the bathroom lights never go out. So what I'd do is I'd open my door, and the light from the bathroom would shine into my door frame, and I'd read my Bible. It was then when I started learning about Jesus. It was then that I started telling others about Jesus. It was then that I started preaching. It was then that my life started changing. And you know, sometimes it takes something catastrophic in our lives for us to say, God, I need you. Sometimes it takes a very huge problem for us to make it to prayer meeting. Because maybe before we felt that maybe I didn't need to pray with my brothers and sisters. But oh, what a blessing. I praise God because now I can look at that picture and I can say, thank you. Thank you, God, because you changed my heart and you're still changing my heart and I need more of it. There's a hymn that says, give me the what? The Bible. Holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love abiding. Till what? Light shall vanish in eternal day. And as we sing our closing hymn, I'd like to challenge you to do two things. One, let's sing this hymn as a prayer, as the desire of our hearts. And I'm not going to make an appeal this morning, but the appeal is this, that you in your home seek Jesus in his word more than you ever have. Nobody's going to check up on you. But this is our opportunity to eat his word, or else we might just still go on being hungry. May he give us his daily bread, and may that daily bread be exactly what we give to others. May the Lord bless us.